The scripture passage that we are going to read comes from Exodus 33, from verse 12 to 23. Exodus 33, verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight.' Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." And he said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by." Going to go to Mark chapter 6. Going to read from little section there from verse 45 to 52. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. So far, reading of the inerrant Word of God. Beloved in the Lord, as you read from the passage, and you also probably heard this story many times, Jesus walking on the sea. This miraculous account of him walking on the water is also written in other books, other gospels. One is here in Mark 6. Matthew 14:22 is another one. And John chapter 6:15 is also has this account. Both in Matthew and Mark, Jesus commands his disciples go into the boat and go cross over to the other side. Jesus goes up to the mountain to pray, and he goes there alone. However, as you read on the sea, the disciples were struggling, encountered tough waves and wind, struggling so much, and Jesus came toward them. He was walking on the sea, on the waves. Yet disciples, however, failed to recognize him. Initially, they thought it was a ghost. The terrified men screamed aloud. Then Jesus came to them with comforting words, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." They climb on the boat and the wind stopped. That's the brief summary of the story. Well, Mark says the disciples were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure. In other words, they were greatly amazed, so surprised. It was so good to see him. And Matthew adds, they worshipped. Now you can see different gospels have a different emphasis. Matthew is the only one that talks about Peter's venture upon the waters. Probably know that Peter wanted to walk on the water as well. Matthew focuses on Jesus who didn't let go of Peter despite of his lack of faith. Now the Gospel of John, however, gives more information about the reason why he withdrew himself and went up to the mountain to pray. The reason was because the people wanted to take him by force, make him king. That kind of explains why Jesus made his disciples get into the boat in our passage. So this morning we are going to focus on the same account, same event, but from Mark's perspective. His theme is this: Jesus walked on the sea. We're going to see disciples without Jesus. Second point, disciples with the unknown Jesus. And the third point, the disciples with Jesus. Mark tells us something that other gospels don't. If you look at the first verse of our passage, verse 45, it starts like this. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat. Immediately. Has a sense of urgency. That word is a kind of trademark in the Gospel of Mark. The word immediately is frequently used by Mark to portray Jesus as a very busy Savior. Mark gives an impression that Jesus never stopped working. He traveled many places. He didn't have time to rest. However, in our text, the word immediately functions as a bridge between this account and the previous account. Previously, Jesus fed the 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And then, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat to the other side. And we wonder, why? Why immediately? If you read carefully, our text says he made his disciples get into the boat. The original language reads like this. It literally says, Jesus compelled his disciples get into the boat and go before him. The old King James catches that sense very well by saying he constrained his disciples. This is a there is a sense of urgency and coerciveness. Jesus was compelling disciples to get into the boat and leave. The next verse says, "And when he had sent them away." So we can have this, we can see the sense that you can sense his strong intention to make everyone go away immediately. Why? Well, if you look at the previous account, everybody was very satisfied. Must have been really happy after filling their stomach. There were 12 baskets full of leftovers. They were well nourished, happy. Then Jesus wanted to send them away. Also, the crowd. Well, the clue to this question lies in the word in verse 45. Just made them first go away. And the last verse of our story. And we're going to get into that just right after. And this expression just made suggests that disciples didn't want to leave. And if you read all the way to the end of this chapter, Mark gives another clue, which is missing in Matthew and John. Verse 52. "For they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened." Well, in the Gospel of John, after feeding the 5,000, John 6:15 tells us this. When Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Jesus fed the 5,000 to let them know who he is. In my human nature, we want to show off. We would like to be recognized. And in our nature, we would say, after feeding the 5,000, we would say, "Yeah, that is me. I'm the one who performed the miracle." But he left right away. You see, their earthly satisfaction made them blind from seeing the true spiritual lesson, which is Jesus is the bread of life, which Jesus says later in the same chapter in the Gospel of John, John 6:35. The crowd had the wrong understanding of Messiah. They thought Messiah would throw away the Roman Empire, the oppressors, and he would build a new Jewish kingdom. And with this expectation, the crowd could easily turn into a revolutionary mob. Jesus miraculously fed the 5,000. They thought Jesus would be a good king because he provided bread, something to eat, something they can be satisfied with. And this wrong understanding and this wrong expectation was very contagious. Disciples were exposed and they were very vulnerable to this temptation. We can see that in other passages in the Bible. For instance, in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, the people asked, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" Jesus was very well aware of their weaknesses. So Jesus sent them off. They were probably displeased, and this explains why verse 52, that "for they have not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened." They were blind by their own political interest. Again, they failed to see the true lesson that Jesus is the bread of life, and he is the giver of life, hardening their hearts. Jesus was alone in the land. Boat was in the middle of the sea. And the disciples were on the boat and they were struggling. You know, even in poor condition, the Sea of Galilee could normally be crossed in 6 to 8 hours. The disciples were helpless because they faced hard wind blowing toward them or against them. They were unable to go to the other side, Bethsaida, just as they have been unable to understand about the loaves. One application that we can take from this passage is that we can never achieve an understand or achieve any goal without Christ. Just as the disciples were unable to go to Bethsaida. You see, in the Gospel of Mark, if you read through, whenever the disciples are separated from Jesus, they fall into distress. And this principle applies the same to us. Whenever we are separated from our Savior, we fall into distress right away. Even godly men, if he or she continues living a life without praying to God, even for a few days, not walking in faith, even for a few weeks or few days, that shows. If you remain idle in your spiritual and godly activities, such as prayers, meditations, coming to church, listening to God's word, you will fall into distress easily. If you live a life separated from the Savior, you will be like the disciples. That is the message the Gospel of Mark is trying to teach us. This leads to the second point, the disciples with the unknown Jesus. In verse 48, it says, "Now about the fourth watch of the night," a fourth watch is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. It was probably was very dark. Jesus came walking on the sea. For your side note, there are some people who take this verse, not literally, but figuratively. A liberal scholar say that Jesus did not walk on the sea. They like to take this passage, of course, not literally. The reason behind that is because it's against the law of nature. Some scholars say that it was an optical illusion caused by Jesus walking along the shore, or deception caused by his walking on the sand. But if you read verse 49, you will realize that there's no other way but to understand this passage literally. Because it says, they saw him walking on the sea. They supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out. They saw someone or something approaching nearby. They saw Jesus passing by and thought it was a ghost. In verse 51, Jesus went up into the boat to them and wind ceased. If it were an optical illusion, and the miracle of stopping the wind cannot be explained. Now, I'd like to focus a little bit more on verse 48. It says, walking on the sea and would have passed them by. This is only mentioned in the Gospel of Mark. His intention was to pass them by. Why would Jesus pass them by? We would think that Jesus would come straight to the boat and show himself. But why did he pass by them? And there are some numerous theories about this. Some say Jesus wanted to pass by to surprise them. And the problem of this view is that it just doesn't make sense. Why would he do that? Why would he want to surprise them? Some say Jesus wants to pass by, but does not do so when he saw the disciples in distress. So he changed his mind. Well, the problem with this view is that when he was coming from the shore, he already has seen them in distress. Why would he want to pass by then? Well, there is a connection with the Old Testament in this passage. In the Old Testament, the word to pass by is used in several places. One of them we read from Exodus 33. Exodus 33, Moses asked God to show him his glory, and God responded by passing by him. While God put Moses in the cleft of the rock and covered him with his hand. 1 Kings 19, the Lord tells Elijah to stand on the mountain, for the Lord is about to pass by. So when Jesus was passing by the disciples, he wanted to show them his glory in the morning to give them assurance. The time is critical here. The fourth watch of the night is the right before the sunrise. And in the Old Testament, there's a theme. That is, God's salvation comes in the morning. The fourth watch becomes significant when one remembers that God delivers his people early in the morning. I'll give you an example. Exodus 14, 24. The Lord delivered the people of Israel from the army of Egyptians. It says, now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. Isaiah 17. There's a proclamation against Assyria saying, then behold, at eventide a trouble, and before the morning he is no more. When Assyria invaded Judah, King Hezekiah's time, the Lord sent the angel to kill 185,000 soldiers over one night. And he says in 2 Kings 19:35, when people arose early in the morning, they were all corpses, all dead. So, first, has an implication. First, Jesus is God. Just as God passed by Moses and Elijah, Jesus passed by the disciples with mighty power, with glory. Second, he is a Savior. As I said, timing is critical. He appeared just before the early morning so the disciples may know who he is. At the end of the gospel, Jesus proved that he is the ultimate Savior when the angel proclaimed his ultimate victory over death in early morning on this Sunday. Luke 24. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, a certain other woman with them came to the tomb, and they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Well, the disciples didn't know who he was. And his intention was to show them who he was. This leads to the final point, the disciples with Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, notice the end of the story, the verse 52. For they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. This functions as a link between the previous passage and this passage. Feeding the 5,000, Jesus walking on the sea. Their heart was hardened. When Mark says their heart was hardened, it points out their inability to draw the necessary conclusions from the miracles of Jesus. They did not understand, again, the true meaning behind the bread and the fish. He performed the miracles to teach that he is God. But their sinful nature made them focus on how great the miracle was, not necessarily on the Lord. People were interested in their political interest, which is to force Jesus to be their king, to drive away the foreign invaders. Jesus wanted to teach them that he was bread of life. Do you remember what Jesus did when he fed the 5,000? He looked up to heaven. He blessed the bread. Looked up to heaven and blessed the bread. Jesus wanted to draw their attention to heaven, not the bread itself. But the people focus on the bread only, which symbolized the earthly problems, earthly matters. God is the one who gives the bread and blesses the bread. He is the giver of life. However, people focus on the different things. That's why Jesus forced the disciples to leave. The temptation was too strong. And this revolutionary idea was way too contagious, as I said. We can see that from the statement of the disciples, John, especially John and James in Mark chapter 10, they thought when Christ established an earthly kingdom, like a Roman Empire, they thought he would build a political cabinet. James and John requested by saying, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory." And the mother of James and John said the same thing in Matthew 20. We can fall into the same error. Now let me tell you a story. Remember one of the missionaries when he went to the nation, that he wanted to teach them what the gospel is about. And he was holding the Bible like this. Now, people were imitating him like this all the time whenever they saw them, because they were focusing on earthly things, how he does, rather than the true meaning behind holding the Bible. Well, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." The bread and the wine, they are the gift from God. The bread and wine point to Christ who died for undeserving sinners. The word undeserving is the key. When the minister visibly takes the bread and breaks the bread, it is meant to remind you of our Savior. When the minister gives the bread, believers ought to remember Christ, not the bread. Sometimes we forget that. And most importantly, we are undeserving sinners. We forget that too. What really matters is the message, the point that Christ teaches us, which is to abide in him. In our text, the disciples were amazed and comforted when Christ joined them. Christ is the Savior and Comforter. Verse 50, immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." It's very surprising to observe how Christ reacted to his disciples despite their lack of faith and misunderstanding. Jesus showed incredible amount of patience to his disciples. The disciples were filled with superstitions. Again, they thought he was the ghost. Yet we don't find Jesus condemning them. The full understanding will not come until after his death and resurrection. In the meantime, Jesus never gives up on the disciples in spite of their failures. He constantly taught them with patience. It's something that we can learn as we desire to be his followers. Whether there is a new person coming to this church, be patient. If there is someone weak in faith, be patient with the person as Christ has been patient with us. Also, be patient when you are suffering. Be patient when you are in tribulations. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. After long hours of darkness and struggle, morning will come, certainly. And one morning, there will be a Savior. I would like to finish the sermon by reading from Isaiah 43, which bears a strikingly similar image with this passage. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Do not be afraid, Jesus said. Fear not. The same Jesus who gave this holy visible sign and seal of his covenant, the Lord's Supper, to strengthen the faith, encourages you by saying, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid in your tribulations, sufferings, and all the problems that you face right now. Just rely on our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are here. We are about to participate and witness the visible sign of your love, your promises. Remember, and Jesus is saying, do this in remembrance of me. We pray that you would help us not to be distracted by the main point. Also help us to recognize ourselves. We are undeserving sinners. Only by your grace we are saved. There's nothing that we can contribute. Lord, give us a spirit of unity. As you have been patient with us, help us to be patient with one another when we speak words. Help us to speak to edify one another, not to destroy your church. If there is hatred in our hearts, help us dispose them. Grant us a willingness to forgive one another as you have forgiven us freely. Most of all, help us to appreciate your love through taking the bread and wine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.